Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with my ex-roommate.
Exes. The drama.
T-drama, Peyton Sarton.
Hello everyone, thank you for having me, TK.
Thanks for coming on, Peyton. I love that we use our podcast as an excuse to hang out now.
I know, she came on my podcast like last week.
So and go listen,
it's Note to Self by Peyton Sarton. Mm-hmm. But I was like, we can't. Like we do like small talk, very small talk before, and then we can get into like the good stuff. Because uh-huh. I just like always want to, you know, you just want to get the good stuff.
It's for content
on record. Yeah.
So Peyton, how are you? I feel like Peyton is the queen of just like living her best life always, and even if it's not her best life in real life, it looks like it.
Yeah, it does look like my best life. I will say I think I'm good, not to toot my own horn, at even when I'm not living my best life, like yes. making the not living the best life like purposeful.
No, you are.
Like I learned something from not living my best life. Mm-hmm. But I'm also I think about things too much, mm-hmm. which is a blessing and a curse. So when something bad happens, I'm like, okay, it's because of this. And like, this means I can do this better and to avoid this happening. And like, oh, that was my fault. Like I just go into a whole thing, uh-huh. you know?
I love it. Well, I learned so much from you living with you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I learned some of the best, like, just pieces of advice on, like, how to thrive in your 20s, living in your 20s, dating advice. Like, yes. I feel like we had some good talks while we were roommates. You were by far my favorite roommate I've ever had.
Same, ditto.
Honestly, thank you.
I feel like we had that, like, it's not even necessarily because I'm wise or I'm, you know, smart in any way. I'd like to think so, but I think it's just because, like, it's nice to have someone who is just a few steps ahead of you or just a few years ahead 100%. Of you in a similar position going through life who can be like, oh, this just happened to me and I just had time to reflect on X, Y, and Z mistakes or these mm-hmm. are the good things I did. And just like kind of, it's like a big sister kind of
totally.
Relationship. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it was so, I don't know if people like really know this, but when Peyton and I moved in with each other, we had no idea, we had never met.
No.
Like we met the day we moved in.
Yeah.
But thank God for our friends like Kenzie, Haley Ringo, people that knew mutually both of us.
Yes.
They both guessed, I think, each other up to the two of us.
Though I will say, I think some of them were like, I don't know how this is going to work because y'all have different personalities, but I think we overlap in the same way.
Yeah, I agree.
In a good way. Like we're talking about not being touchy.
Yeah.
For example, that was like one that's like, imagine if like you were super touchy and I wasn't and like mm-hmm. we lived together for a year and a half and you're always, because this happened to me in the past, like people were so offended or thought that I like weirdly hated them when I'm just like not a touchy person. And uh-huh. it just like caused like angst almost in the house. And I'm like, I wish I could touchy. Be touchy. Like I wish,
yeah.
but like little things like that, they kind of just exacerbated any like, not, I don't want to say issues, but like any kind of like pressures or anything like that in a house. So I feel like in those types of ways, there were a couple ways we really overlapped.
Definitely. I feel like also, too, just like our general outlook on life, like the things we have similarities in what we actually give a shit about and yeah. actually don't give a shit about. Like mm-hmm. we don't sweat the small things.
Yes.
We like, I don't know. Like, I understand if you're having a bad day, your shit's going to be a mess and mm-hmm. vice versa. Like, yeah. I don't know. We're not like that nitpicky of people. And yeah. I feel like there's a mutual respect. Like, I have a ton of respect for Peyton, like how she runs her business and her relationships Same. And everything. So, like, it just made it, the living experience, very enjoyable. Like, it yeah. was genuinely the best roommate situation I've had.
Good roommate chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Good roommate chemistry. Anyway, let's start with where you're at right now, or I guess mm-hmm. give a little brief elevator pitch for people that don't know you for some reason.
Oh, God. Elevator pitches are not my thing. I'm not like a short, you know, like
yeah.
quippy kind of person. So I'm Peyton. I have been like in the influencer realm for 6 years now. I started a blog mm-hmm. back in college, originally to get an internship, and then it turned into a job. And since then, it's gone from, you know, blog to Instagram. When Snapchat was a thing, I'm no longer on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Just
Snap
all
is
the
like
things.
Back, though.
I'm hearing it's back, weird. But again, yeah. it's too many fucking things.
Yeah, it's
I
too
can't.
Many things.
I can't
Whatever.
Do it. I'm
yeah.
trying to simplify my life.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So Snapchat, also my Snapchat got hacked
Oof.
A long time
Mine
ago.
Mine did, too.
And I literally was just like, I yeah. don't care anymore. Yeah, so I from Instagram to TikTok to now podcast. I have a podcast called Note to Self, like I said, which is my favorite platform. I don't know if it would if it's yours or not. I feel like you're still a YouTube girly, like at heart.
I think these are so different, like making moves yeah. and like I feel like this is like I see it more as like businessy, its own thing. Like mm-hmm. YouTube is so personal to me.
Yeah, it yeah. is. I do YouTube as well. I've slowed down with that mm-hmm. Just because I wanted to take more time to make better content. And mm-hmm. I feel like you're someone I always think of because like maybe I helped you in certain ways, like when it comes to like life stuff. But like with work, I feel like you were always it's just inspiring to be around someone with an energy like I had when I first moved to LA. Like I was like work, work, work. I was so excited. So it kind of like revived that for me. And when I think about YouTube now, I know that like maybe consistency is really important. I was just thinking about this today. But for me, I'm like, I'm gonna, if I do something every single week, I know the, you know, end result isn't gonna be the greatest. And I was doing that for a little while mm-hmm. and I would look at the vlogs and be like, these are good, but like you can, it's, they're not bad. They just, it wasn't exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like an exact depiction of myself. So mm-hmm. anyway, I started doing like once every 2 weeks and it like is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I keep leaning back on your advice being like, okay, like you just, you need to make sure you're promoting it properly, but you don't need to be every, you know, once a week or anything mm-hmm. like that. That was a tangent, but that was
that's
something
okay.
that was something I learned from you.
Okay.
That I wanted to flag. but anyway, I've been doing social media for a really long time. I lived here in LA from age 22 to 28. I just turned 28 when I left. Me and TK lived together for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved away to move with my boyfriend, the first man I've ever lived with.
Shout out, Joe.
Shout out to Joe.
We love Joe.
We do love Joe. He's been extra cute lately. So
the pictures you posted of him as a baby,
the cutest
I was
baby.
Like,
Literally the cutest baby of all time. Like the cheeks and the dimples.
And then the one of you guys both, like, as children with the cake. Yes. I was like, I'm obsessed with them.
I got to do a side by side. So I met Joe over two years ago, and I'm a very hyper independent person, which is another thing I think we have in common. Mm-hmm. Started dating him, which was pretty life changing for me because I just 100%. Hadn't really had a boyfriend up to the age of 26 mm-hmm. that was like a real boyfriend. And so I moved in with him in December. We've been all around because he plays baseball for his job, and he was in DC with the Washington Nationals this last season. So I was in DC, and then we're back in LA for the off season. Mm-hmm.
And that's just a bunch of stuff. And you were in Texas before that.
Yeah. So I grew up in Texas. I went to Texas A&M University. I was a different person back then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm from Texas. That's where I say I'm from, at least. My dad was a military guy for a long time, so we moved quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I consider myself a Texan, though. Though California, the more I'm, you know. We tried it last offseason. Joe and I were like, let's move to Dallas and do the Dallas thing. We bought a house. We were like, we're going to settle down. Once we moved there, we're both like, it's just not our vibe.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Fort Worth, which like this, the thing between Fort Worth and Dallas, like there's like a little bit of a competition there.
Oh, really?
And if, like, you're from Fort Worth, like you're like, ew, Dallas. And if you're from Dallas, you're like, what even is Fort Worth? Like, it's just a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. And it's also freezing. Joe hated the cold. But I'm kind of sad we don't have our house in Dallas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we were there. We've been all over the place. I moved like four times since December of last year.
I think the cool thing, though, about you that you've taught me is like, nothing's permanent.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a house and decide you don't want the house anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like in my head, I'm like, oh, am I going to get a dog? Am I going to get a house? Am I going to, like, in my head, it's such a big deal. Am I going to get a boyfriend? Like, you can date someone for a month and realize that's not your vibe.
Yeah.
You know, or like, or, you know, buy a house and you're just going to have to sell it. Like, that's just how life works sometimes.
You got to move with the punches. And I think Joe is really good at that. I'm more like you, where I'm very, very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
We got in a conversation, like, 2 days ago about this because he was just like, I noticed he just like does stuff. Like he does what he needs to do. So in terms of like, he doesn't procrastinate things usually. He like will do whatever is on his to-do list for that day. I will say like his to-do lists are very short.
It's like go to gym.
Yeah. Goes to PT.
Train.
Yeah. Comes home, plays video games. Like he might have like one, like go to the grocery store or something. He's definitely the one that takes care of like the administrative duties in the relationship.
Good.
Because I work a lot and Joe like works out and then, you know, comes home. A lot of extra mental time, I guess. But I was like, I just do everything with intention. So like every move I make, like if I'm going to drink water, I'm drinking water so I can be more hydrated, so I can do this, so I can bring minerals in it. Like everything is so on purpose and I don't say things that I don't mean. Like I just... And like there's been a couple times I have in my life, but like other than that, like I remember those times because I'm like, oh my God, even if I say mean things, I'm like, I meant them. I've been thinking about those things for a while. But yeah, I'm just very intentional. Joe is relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the kind of person that teaches me those kinds of things, like being like, okay, it's not a big deal. We can sell it or we can move or we can do whatever. I'm like, you're right.
Well, he's used to that lifestyle in a way, you know?
Yeah. And he just doesn't stress. And I make things stressful. Like, because I think sometimes when you think like that, you're making things more stressful than they need to be.
Uh-huh.
Nothing is permanent, like you said.
Yes.
So, like, you can do whatever the fuck you want
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent, obviously.
I think that's so true. That reminds me of, like, if people are like, how are you doing everything? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just my life.
Yeah.
Like it's just
doing it.
Yeah. It's just my, I have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
choice.
That's kind of like with you. It's like, okay, God forbid Joe gets traded or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just your life.
It's
people
just
are like,
happening.
How do you do that? You're like, well, that's my life.
I don't really have an option. Like I signed up for it. We're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like, how do you not do stuff?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? How do I deal with my life? Things are happening and I just have to deal with them as they're happening. I don't mm-hmm. know. You just have to do your best, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So Peyton, you were basically single until you were 26.
I had like two relationships. I will say one was more of like, it was a relationship that I was too scared to call a relationship, like too scared to call my boyfriend. But mm-hmm. we did everything you do in a relationship with our families, celebrating things together. We went through a lot of hard times together. But I was 19 and I was just like, I don't know, the word boyfriend really freaked me out. So we would just say we were, I would say we were dating, which is just like, whatever. I had some problems with commitment, I think.
That's so Peyton.
So me. But he was the best guy ever. Like, mm-hmm. after him, I never, ever looked at a fuckboy ever again in terms of dating. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, I had situationships in college, and I, like, let, like, a frat boy, like, make me sad for a year once.
Yeah.
And I just, no, never again. Like, this guy was the man. He's the best. I have so much respect for him. Wasn't right for a relationship for me, but love him. So I moved on from him. And then at 24, I dated a guy who I had been friends with for a long time. And we only dated for about 8 months. Mm-hmm. And
that's,
we were long distance.
Time.
I mean, kinda. For me, yeah, we were long distance. And I think we quickly realized, much like the first guy, or at least I realized, he would have been better off as a friend. Mm. Not that he wasn't a great looking guy or anything like that. It's just like we didn't have that chemistry that was kind of like unspoken. But we had wonderful friend chemistry. And or like roommate chemistry.
Oh, okay.
Like, we just vibed really well, super easy to be around. And it took me a long time to realize that I needed that other component. And the first time I ever had, I would say like three components to like what I think makes a good natural relationship, which is like the sexual chemistry. Mm-hmm. That was important to me in this, you know, relationship with Joe, because I had never really had like a really overt sexual chemistry with someone that, which is the second component, I also really respected as a person, mm-hmm. and like wanted to be like and wanted to be around, because that's my other guys in my life were that they had that second component. And then the third one is like just a solid friendship. Mm-hmm. So the other guys had like the two, but not the that overt sexual chemistry. Mm-hmm. And Joe was the first guy I ever met that had all three.
Wow.
Like the first guy I've ever known to exist on the planet.
Well, they're far and few between.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. And it's so dependent on you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so it works for me isn't going to work for you. And it's like finding like a needle in a haystack, kind of.
Totally.
So.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me.
And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
What do you feel like made you ready or open to dating someone for real? Like, what are qualities you think you need to have down before you find someone you want to date for real? Because I feel like right now I'm like, I don't feel there, but I'm like, I'm wanting to get there soon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I had like a really visceral experience with this when I was 26. And it was like a month after I turned 26. This is right before I met Joe, by the way. And I'm into like manifestation and things like that. I also think it's like some form of like what you're looking for, you're going to find kind of thing. But I remember just like sitting in my bed and having this realization that I hadn't had a really serious relationship in my life. And I'd never been in love. I'd never said I love you to a man. I was like, I need to have that experience, I think. And I think like at that point, I wasn't operating from a place of desperation or needing attention or anything like that. I was just like, I want this experience. I feel like maybe I was just able to hold myself accountable a little bit more, I think, at that age. And I was so like responsible for my own self and my own being. And I was like, it'd be really nice to have someone that can match my energy or like take care of me for once, which I feel like in my life I didn't really ever have. I've always been like really hyper independent. So I remember like having this like visceral experience where I was like, okay, this is exactly what I want. And I laid out exactly what I want, holding nothing back. I was like not feeling guilty about the things that I wanted.
This is what I love about Peyton.
Yeah,
like,
I was like,
you know what the fuck you want. And you don't. Yes. I feel like so many, especially women, you hold it in.
Well, this was my first experience admitting that to myself.
Okay,
and
I
that's why
this.
It was so like life changing. And I think that's why it happened for me is I was like, I feel like as women, we're always told, okay, like, you know, part of the reason I was in relationships before that weren't so great, maybe sexually, is because I was like, okay, that grows later and you're supposed to be attracted to this person. Like, they're your best friend and like your minds love each other and things. And so I always overlooked that part and was like, it'll grow. And it just didn't. And I realized after a long time, like, some people are just meant to be your friends. I don't owe everyone a relationship just because we like and respect each other. There needs to be that component. So I feel like once I let go of like this idea that I needed to be sweet and understanding and like overlook sex specifically and relationships like that in order to, I don't know, prioritize men that just were my friends and like good guys kind of thing. And I really focused on what I want, which number one for me when I was laying in bed that night, this was like all done. Like I was literally about to go to sleep. And I was like, oh my God.
Spiraling.
Yeah. I'm laying there. I'm like, all right. I had this like weird out of body experience. And I was just like, I want to feel like X, Y, and Z things. So I was saying to myself, like, I really want to feel super sexually into somebody who I also respect. Because at this point I had either or. You know what I mean?
No, that's how I feel right now. I'm like, oh, do I either like find them smart or find them hot? Like, it's like, why can I have both?
And usually when you have both, they like fuel each other. So like when they work off of each other, like you say someone's sexy and you also think someone's smart and inspiring. And then they're also your like good friend. You can hang out
with
them
forever. It makes them more sexy.
Yeah. It just like really makes everything else more intense. And I hadn't really figured that out yet, I guess. But I knew that I wanted to be like so sexually attracted to somebody that I wanted to just like rip their clothes off all the time. And I also wanted to be really inspired and I really wanted to feel safe. I feel like I was focusing on feelings. And then I was like, safety to me meant someone who can take care of me because I'm always taking care of myself, whether that be, you know, fiscally with money, they can take me out on a nice dates. And I was very upfront about that. I would not date someone who made less money than me. Preferably, I wanted someone who made more money than me. And I was just like, that's what I want. And I wasn't like, oh, no, I shouldn't say that.
How do you feel like you had the confidence to like actually feel that?
I don't. It was this like breakthrough moment with myself. Yeah. I was like, why am I not even admitting this to myself?
Did you before that moment feel that way? Or did you have to like kind of build that up?
I don't know that I felt that way. I feel like I just let the way I'm supposed to feel dictate so many of my feelings that I wasn't even paying attention to how I actually felt. So I was like, okay, well, I shouldn't do this, and I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to say this, and I'm like, you know what? I do care. If I'm looking for a partner, I want them to make as much or more money than me, because I want a certain life down the line for my children. You know what I mean? So, like, that's going to take some money. The life I want to build for kids that I have in the future is not cheap. So I know I work hard, and I know that my own personal, you know, money situation is always improving. So I wanted to be with someone that could match that, at least, because the last thing I ever want to be is like pulled tied down with someone who can't do the same things as me. It is different, I will say, like if someone's in startup mode, like you're with someone really smart and intelligent and amazing, and they're really inspiring in that way. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to value what I value, but I'm just saying these are the things that I valued.
Well, that's what I love about you is it, like, whether I agree or not, or whether anyone agrees or disagrees, at least you know what you want and you're confident in that. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. Like, you don't have to think about what other people want when it's your life. Like, you're literally like, I don't give a shit if this bothers you or doesn't. This is what I want. And you're going full force. And I think that's, I don't know why with women, I feel like that's such a hard thing to grasp.
Well, it's very polarizing when a woman does that. Like, I was just talking to Joe about this. You know Drew Afualu? Okay, so she, there was a BuzzFeed article about her recently, and she was like saying...
The TikToker, right?
Yeah, the TikToker. She's like a vigilante for women, basically. Yeah, and she just like calls out like these guys. And her line of logic is brilliant. Like, I genuinely think she's brilliant. She is so... I don't know. She's just very intelligent, in my opinion. And I think her opinions and the way that she like connects things for women is really smart and insightful. And I'm just obsessed with her.
What was her line of logic? Or like,
so like everything, just everything she says, I'm like, that was so brilliant the way you put it in such few words, for example. Like, I'm not a copywriter. You just asked me to elevator pitch and I just told you my life story. Like, I can't do that. So whenever someone can, like, kind of explain things that I think in such few words. I'm like, you are so smart.
Or like
smart.
How you're feeling in
put it
few
into words.
So
like, I love that. I'm like, you're so smart. It's just, it's so cool. So anyway, she did this BuzzFeed article or something. There was a BuzzFeed article on her, and she was saying that like she is, people call her out for being like the female Andrew Tate is what they say. When she's clearly not, like, you can't be a female Andrew Tate. You can't like punch
I don't even know who like Andrew Tate is. He's like the worst. We won't even talk about it.
So they they've been calling her that on the internet. And she's like, and they're always trying to diss her by being like, oh my God, you're so mean to
men. Because a female has an opinion.
Yeah, you're so mean. And she's like, listen, it's supposed to be mean. Like, I'm not going to be nice to men who don't deserve me being nice. It's supposed to be mean. And if you're taking it like it's mean, you're doing it the right way. And she was like, I'm being mean to you. And she was saying first, like, I'm responding to men being horrible to women, and I'm being mean, but you did it for fun and I'm doing it for a reason. It's like one of her last lines. And I was like, again, she boils it down to like these things that I'm like, oh my God. But I was telling Joe, like, this is a headline, like, this is a provocative headline that this TikToker is being mean to men who don't deserve kindness. And it's very provocative for women to just kind of say what they feel and not be nice and not worry about the pretense of what everyone's gonna say, what you're supposed to do and what you need to do, because we've been told by our whole life how you're supposed to dress, how you're supposed to act, all these things. And when women don't do that, it's intimidating for men, I think, sometimes. The wrong men, obviously, they do not respond well. Trust me, I put my podcast like audio clips on, you know, about single life and things like that on both Instagram and TikTok. And the men in the comments are angry. They're so angry. And I know I'm doing something right.
It's so embarrassing.
Right. And I mean, you're telling on yourself. You're literally telling on yourself all the time in the comments. But they're really mad. And it's insane to me, because I'm usually around men that are very intelligent. And like, around very intelligent men, in my experience, the women run everything. In my house, the women run everything. And it's obvious that like, women are very powerful. And if we speak like this, it's not a lot of surprise. The men are like, oh no, but like we're doing this. Like, it's just, and they're all intelligent, successful men. So when I see like men reacting like this, I'm like, where are y'all? Like, I don't run into men like this in my day to day life. Thank fucking God. But And I work in like a women-led industry. So like, thank God I don't have to work with that many men like that. And the men who work in women-led industries are typically great because they're used to, you know, seeing how amazing women are literally all day. But yeah, it's so, to back to your point, provocative for a woman to be like, this is what I want. And it's always going to offend someone, but a lot of men. When you say that, especially, you know, the way it tells on them is if they don't fall into that category.
Yeah.
So then they're offended and you're like, cool, be offended. I don't give a fuck.
That's
like,
embarrassing.
I'm just telling you what I want. You're not made for me. That's okay.
Weeds them out.
Yeah, it's all right. You can be with whoever the fuck else you want to be with who wants someone more like you. It's just not me.
Exactly.
And I was unapologetic about it. And I feel like the second I started doing that in every area of my life, which it didn't all come at once, like, I was unapologetic about like maybe work first and then about friends and relationships later. And it's just made my life so much better to face my truth in myself, admit it to myself, and then live that truth, as cheesy as that is to say.
How do you have the confidence to live that way unapologetically?
For me, it's just come with age. Because I'm 28 now. I'll be 29 next month. I'm like
crazy.
I'm like, I just don't. The older I'm getting, and I know people in, you know, their 30s are like, oh my God, you don't give a fuck then. And like, you know, my grandma's in her 70s right now. And she's like, this is the best decade of my entire life. Like, I give zero fucks. I think I just realized like how small I am on the earth. No one really cares what I'm doing. It's not that big of a deal. Like, if I do something or don't do it, if I'm confident or not confident, no one really cares besides myself. So I might as well just be confident because like, I don't know. I've gotten very humbled, not in the sense of that I was doing anything that was super, super self-important, but I've just realized how small and insignificant I am, which has made me be more confident for some reason. You know, like, it's just so trivial that I'm like, I don't really care, like, if this person has this bad thought about me.
No, that makes sense, you know? In a weird way.
It does make sense in a weird way. I'm kind of that person, though, that, like, the more that I learn and the more insignificant I become, the more confident and alive I've become in my life. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like, I feel like metaphorically speaking, it can be compared to like my experience living in Los Angeles. Like, I feel so free here because everyone is better than me at everything. And everyone's prettier and smarter. Like, you're going to find someone better than you at every turn here. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it makes them hate Los Angeles because they get jealous. So they're like, why not me? Or, you know, they're just so fixated on everyone being better. Whereas for me, it makes me feel like free because no one cares about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this is great. This is wonderful.
Well, it's like the difference between a person that wants to be a big fish in a small pond or thrives being being a small fish in a big pond.
And I like that. I like the latter a lot. I just feel very free.
Well, it's motivating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, if this boss ass bitch at this age could reach that, like, fuck yeah, I can do that too. Or whatever, you know, it's like.
Mm-hmm. And I love, there's something to be said for like, for example, I'm an influencer by trade. That's my job. And not a lot of people have heard of me. I don't have a massive following, but there's so many people in a city like this or New York where you don't have to be famous. You don't have to have millions of followers and you can make a really, really great living. Like, you don't have to be the best in the world, but you can do your thing and have a great life and a great job and meet great people. And I love that. I don't need to be the most famous. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the most famous person in the world. And I don't need to be the most beautiful or the most, you know, whatever. I can just be myself because there's logically no other option. So it's just like, you just have to fall into it because like, what else are you gonna fucking
that.
Do?
I love that. Also, you know, there really are pros and cons to both. Like, there's pros to not being the biggest in your industry.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, as far as like fame, like, I have so much empathy for people like Hailey Bieber or like the Jenners or, you know,
think about Alicia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's one of the best like OG YouTubers of all time. And I'm like, it's just, it's a different life that I lead.
There's problems that she has that I currently just don't because I'm not as big.
Yeah.
And it's like she looks at my life sometimes and is like, oh, TK, I wish that was my biggest problem. You know what I mean?
People like her are like, oh my God, so simple.
Things that I look at her and I'm like, oh, I wish I had the opportunity.
Absolutely.
But with more opportunity comes more problems. And it's like, you know, the saying, more money, more problems. But I think that's a really cool way to look at your life.
Yeah, I just feel insignificant in a very inspiring way, I guess.
That's why I like loved living with Peyton, is because like, she would come home and just like tell me that
Yeah.
She'd be like, so today I had this realization that as I've turned, you know, I'm in my 8th month of my 28th year. Yeah. Like, you're so like,
I'm like, this like is what that. I learned this month.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. That A, B, and C happen. And that's why D is going to happen. Yeah. And E is falling into place as we speak. Yeah. And I'm like, that is so true.
That actually makes sense. Yeah. I actually was looking at, because I've, you know, diving more into like who I am and like what I want to do, which I think everyone should do, like find out things that make you happy or that excite you, and like maybe the way that you think, things that align with the way that you think. For example, I'm into philosophy. I just love it. I've always loved it since I was middle school. And my little like smart kid school, they made us read a lot of philosophy really young. And I looked into like getting my master's in philosophy because I was like, that would just be so fun. I feel like every day I would just really enjoy that type of thinking, because that's what I'm already, it's kind of like in line with what I'm already thinking about. And a lot of us have that in us, but it just, you know, depends on the person that you are. Mm-hmm. But that might be coming soon for me.
Ooh,
I want to do that so bad.
That could be so fun.
I know.
Speaking of, okay, it sounds like you have an idea of what you're good at, you're confident in all of those things. What do you feel like you struggle with and want to be better at? Because I feel like this is like, from looking, being an outsider's perspective, I mean, I literally lived with you, so I have like the inside scoop. But now that I haven't lived with you for a year, I'm like, damn, like Peyton looks like she's thriving, she's living, which I'm sure you are. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what are you, what's the nitty gritty, like we don't know that you're dealing with or you're struggling with or you're trying to get better at currently?
So definitely boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I talk about this a lot on my own podcast. I think for me, boundaries with my family has been a huge thing for me this year. I don't have a lot of the same values as my family, I think, in a lot of ways, and we don't live similar lifestyles. And so for me, it's taken me a long time to realize, like, if I don't agree with somebody, I don't need to argue with them. I don't want to, for example, if, like, in the religious or political space, like, for some, like religion, I don't want to argue against someone's religion if it makes them happy. Like, I just don't want to. I don't need to be arguing what I believe, what I don't believe, because it doesn't fucking matter what I believe. If it makes them happy, it makes them happy. And I realized that, you know, within the last few years, just because someone comes at you with an argument doesn't mean you need to respond, because the end result is like, I don't want you to not believe something that's helping you. And then with political things, you're just kind of like, so I study politics in college. That's what my degree is in. And there's lots of tactics that we learned, especially in political campaigning, that I see at practice in both parties, really. And for me, it's kind of like an out-of-body experience, or it's like feels like the Truman Show, where I'm like, is no one else seeing this? Like, this is like, it just, it's hard to explain unless you've just studied it, you know, at length for 4+ years.
Mm-hmm.
So with that kind of stuff, I understand also like somewhat of the psychology you take advantage of in order to make people believe certain things politically. And I, again, when I see it at play, I know how powerful it is. And I don't want to argue with people's politics, because a lot of the times it overlaps with religion and morals. Of course, those are the politics and religions thing that always come up when I'm around, not like maybe my nuclear family a lot, but like extra family members.
100%. Same. Who are,
yeah, like we devoted, all have them. Yeah. Right, so devoted to not, to never understanding and just being fucking assholes about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've let those people bait me into arguments a lot and it's ruined my mental health when I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been the one at the Thanksgiving table, you know, sobbing, crying, making a big fucking deal about everything. Like, I've been doing that since I was 18.
I love an independent woman.
Right? It took me like one sociology of like race class and one sociology of gender class. Mm-hmm. Just half, you know, semester classes to kind of get in the nitty gritty and be like, just it, the morality of it all like really stresses me out. So getting into arguments with people that just are committed to not understanding is not my thing anymore, but while also still respecting them. And they also don't realize that they're not respecting me, but you know, I just am trying to be more respectful while also putting that boundary up and not letting myself get so emotionally charged.
Yes, I've been trying to be in touch with like putting my emotions aside when I'm having a disagreement, because right now my brother is like staying with me.
Mm-hmm.
And even this morning, like I wanted to lash out on him because I was like emotionally mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, no, this is like, I was like, put this aside. What am I actually frustrated with right now? And speak in human words. Form.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, emotions and feelings are so powerful. Yeah. So like, again, you can use them for me. Using them for like the manifestation thing and focusing on how I want to feel has been helpful. But then I also, they work against you in mm-hmm. a lot of ways.
It's slightly embarrassing sometimes.
It's very embarrassing. Yeah. So I'm dealing with a lot of like just emotional stuff like that. Obviously, I talk about anxiety, depression, things like that. I've gotten that pretty much under control for mm-hmm. the most part. What else? I mean, I've got like a laundry list and I like blatantly say them usually all the time. Uh-huh. I'm really bad at delegating.
Same.
And my anxiety makes me procrastinate. Like I get a lot of anxiety about something really simple and then I won't do it. And it'll be on my to-do list forever. And I just, when I actually do it, it takes 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like right now I need to go pay for my health insurance. I can pay for my health insurance and I can just get on the internet and pay for my health insurance. But I'm like, oh my God, what if my password, I don't remember it.
No,
and then I'm like, oh my, so I'm going to put it off for days and then it's going to be too late.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to be like, you need to re-up. And I'm going to be like, okay, then I have to get new health insurance. Like, I'm not going to go through that again because mm-hmm. I've done that way too many times. But I just put stuff off that is absolutely unnecessary because maybe at one point in my life I would struggle to pay for health insurance, but I genuinely, I'm not struggling to pay mm-hmm. for health insurance. And I just still
you're struggling to log in. Yeah.
I'm like, why can't I just freaking do it? Just do the job. Joe's really good at that stuff. Like if he needs to do something, he's like, oh, health insurance, and does his health insurance.
I both my brother and dad, honestly, my mom too, like they're both fabulous at that. My strength does not lie in administrative type shit at all. Like my strength lies in me being creative, being on camera, being stupid, like filming.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the difference between like linear and like more chaotic creative thinking. Like Joe's very linear. So like he'll be like, I need to do this. And then he does it. For me, I'm like, hey, I have to do this, but I have to do this. And then I have to do this first. And then like maybe this goes into this. And I have like lists broken down into lists of things. And I'm also just like all over the place. Even with the way that I speak, like I'm like, hey, I'm going to bookmark this, go on a tangent, come back. You know, it's just it might be more of a. For me, the women in my life are a lot like that. We just have a lot going on in our brains.
Well, we're better at multitasking.
Yes.
And women
are. We can hit so many different topics. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if I'd have a conversation like that with Joe sometimes, especially in like a disagreement or an argument, mm-hmm. I can't go all the places. Mm-hmm. I can't speak in metaphors. I have to be direct and linear for him to like understand what I'm saying.
Mm.
And I'm noticing that a lot, that it comes out, that kind of like logic, in my opinion, comes out in like his doing of tasks, or you know,
yeah.
It's just he and does his thing, or he like plays a video game. He enjoys the video game. He's not thinking about anything else but the video game, except for maybe like what are we gonna order for dinner.
Yeah,
but he has to take his headphones off and then think about what we're gonna order for dinner.
Yeah,
and then put his headphones back on and play the video game again. You know, it's just it's so linear.
My dad, like this reminds me, because my dad will call me and be like, "Hey, did you talk to your financial advisor about blah 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 blah?" Like, because our financial advisor is like a family friend. He's like, "Hey, did you like fill this out, the form that he sent you?"
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, like it's so embarrassing to admit, it's like a mountain of a task.
Yes.
But like everything else that's actually way harder and bigger mm-hmm. and time consuming, like I'm doing.
Oh, well, no. Coming into podcast studios, like when I come to work and like go in studio with the producer and everybody and a guest, I'm like, that's nothing. Like I'll just do that real quick. It's fine.
Yes.
The form, fucking can't do
that. And like a week later, my dad's like, "Have you done it?" And I'm like, it's embarrassing for me. I'm embarrassed to be like, no, I haven't done it. Or I haven't activated my new card. Like,
yes.
And they're like, but why?
Like just call the
you're
number.
You're lazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I swear I'm not. It's just like, this is a mountain of a task for me.
It's so, so much. There's something, I'll think about it, but there's something that happened recently.
I wonder if other women, like this is maybe a female thing.
Yeah.
Or like I'm just like, oh, that's so small. I'll do that later. Like I put it at the bottom of my list.
It's an anxiety thing. Recently, what I've been doing in the past years prior, I didn't want to check my bank account because I was like scared. Or I didn't want to check my credit card because I was like, I don't even want to know. Like, I'm like, you know, just I avoided it. Now I have someone, a financial guy with my bank, who has my full like plan for my money mm-hmm. laid out. He invests it for me. He's great. I'm loving it. There's money in there to invest. Like, things are going well. Mm-hmm. I even curb him and he's like, "Peyton, I'm making you more money right now. Like, the faster we could do this, the more money you have a potential of making." Like, I'm not telling you, you don't, like, I'm not going to scare you. Like, this is good. This is, like, good stuff. And I'm trying to help you. And I have anxiety.
I relate.
It's so stupid.
I feel like that's one thing I'm trying to get better at is, like, instead of avoiding, like, the best you can do specifically with money is know exactly how much you have, exactly where it's going.
It's freeing to know this information.
Yes. Yeah. Normally I'm like, ignorance is bliss.
Yes. And, like, with your money, it isn't.
Yeah. You need to know where, what's going. Even the other day, I, like, had fraud on my credit card. So I had to get a new one, do the whole thing, right? Yeah. And then I had to look at all my statements to see what they used as fraud. Mm-hmm. And then in the midst of that, so then my card went out of use. So then all of my subscriptions that card was linked to, like, insert your new card.
That is literally what happened with my health insurance.
It is.
I had to get a new card, and I couldn't put it on the old card anymore, and now I'm like, I had to change my information.
And it's so simple and sounds so stupid, but what was awesome with this problem is that I found out, you know what, I actually don't really use, like, the Peloton thing anymore. I'm paying, like, what, $39 a month, which isn't that much, but it adds up.
It does add up.
That is a lot. And then it's like, do I really use, like, Disney Plus or, like, the add-ons on my Hulu account? Or, like, do you know what I mean? All those things, I realized, like, actually, I haven't been at $45 in, like, a month. Like, I don't need to be paying for that or whatever. So it was kind of a blessing and a curse. But, like, I don't know. I really want to get better at knowing exactly where my money is at all times and how much I'm spending and how much is coming in per month, because I think it's the easy thing to do is avoid it and just be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, ignorance is bliss.
I did that for a while, and I had a lot of, like, any cash I made sitting in an account not making me any money. And it, one of the best things I've done for myself so far in my 20s in the last year has been to identify that, one, I'm not going to put my own money in, like, a TD Ameritrade account and manage it. I just know I'm not going to do that. It's not happening. Would it be the best idea? Because there's no, like, fees for someone doing it. Mm-hmm. Sure. But I met with my financial advisor. We had great financial advisor and advisee chemistry. He's amazing. He's a friend of a friend as well. And he's, like, young, and he understands what my plan is. He drew up a whole plan. We talked about it. That meeting made me feel like a real adult. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I don't know why I was expecting bad stuff or just, like, getting anxiety, but it made me feel good. And I'm trying to train myself to look at money more like that now, because I don't need to be so worried all the time. It should be empowering, kind of.
Absolutely.
And that meeting with him was really helpful. I guess I was just so, I've been used to in my 20s thus far, probably up until, like, 26, just being, like, nervous. And being, like, afraid of seeing my rent coming out of my bank account and afraid of this and afraid of that. And I feel lucky, and I also feel deserving that I'm at a position I am now.
Well, you worked your ass off.
I worked my ass off, and I'm trying to be smart and understand, like, for example, the financial advisor thing. Understand where I'm not going to do something. I'm not going to do the TD Ameritrade thing and self-manage. So I'm going to hire someone.
Even if you can. Yeah. Well, that's what I want to emphasize, too, is, like, even though you're fully capable and smart enough to do that, that is actually better for you in the long run to hire someone, because it would be a waste of your time when really you could be getting a video up, making more money, or whatever it is. And some, I feel like a lot of times too, as, like, females, you feel like you need to explain yourself, which you've done such a good job that, like, I've learned from you that you actually don't need to.
You don't need to. Yourself. But of course, if you want to explain it to, for me, like, the reason I have a podcast is I explain myself to other women who might be in the same boat as me. And I explain my inner workings and why I chose to do that, rather than it be someone coming at me and me having to explain myself.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, when I find myself in that situation, or, like, defend myself, I've really had to work on that too. Like, not defending myself. It kind of goes with the boundaries.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, again, we were talking about maybe politics or religion or something like that, where someone's trying to bait me into an argument that I don't want to be in, rather than explaining my own personal beliefs, which are pretty middle of the road in every case possible, and very, like, you can do whatever you want kind of beliefs, right? It's just your thing, you do what you gotta do. Just don't be hurting people, or, you know, whatever. That's one thing I'm not gonna deal with. But anyway, I have to explain and over explain why I believe these things, and I'm like, I'm just not even gonna explain this to you. If you wanna ask me what I believe, I will happily tell you, but I'm not explaining to you why, and I'm not justifying my position, because I don't need to do that to you. Like, why? There's a difference between that also and getting in, like, a conversation about something that might, like, stimulate you, me learning something new, you know what I mean? But you can usually tell when it's going to be a debate where someone is just unwilling to even learn anything and or a conversation like that where someone's willing.
Well, they don't deserve to know sometimes, yeah, like your reasoning.
It depends on like the vibe they come at you with.
Totally.
You know, and you can tell right off the bat. But I think to go back to the financial advisor thing, one big thing I've learned that I need to get better at is looking at things from more of a managerial perspective. Like, I think once you get to the point in both of our careers that we have, you, it's less me trying to teach myself to do stuff and being a one-man show. Now I have management. My manager has an assistant that I talk to every single day. And then there's, you know, a video editor. There's a podcast producer. Mm-hmm. There's the podcast team that does merch stuff. There's an assistant, should I have one? I had one in DC and I miss her very much. Mm-hmm. Megan, if you're listening, miss you.
Shout out. What is it, Megan?
Megan.
Shout out, Megan.
She's so cute. And then who else? Just financial people, graphic design people. Like, instead of me doing all of those things now and taking up a lot of time, I feel like I've had to really start learning delegation and management of people, which I've heard a lot from people when they get better at their job. They're like, oh, it became less me doing my job and more like me
managing,
or what I considered
people.
Doing my job, more like me just going through a workflow with a bunch of different people, which is what I'm trying to find my, like, my, you know, vibe with right now. Just making things work timeline wise.
It's hard. It's a hard transition. Also, I feel like letting go of like certain things that were and are your baby.
Yes.
You know, like,
well, trusting other people. That's when it comes to like your team, building your team is really important. Like, my producer, I love my podcast studio. My management, I love, and those were all very intentional choices that made me better. And I have to trust them because I've chosen them for the job, and
absolutely,
I can't necessarily be like micromanaging.
Well, the best thing you can do is hire someone who's better than you at it.
That's the goal. Yeah, that would be the goal. So
exactly,
that's what I've been doing.
I love
it's
that.
Been great.
So you're 28, almost 29. What do you feel like are must do's in your 20s? I feel like you have lived like one of the best almost 10 years, like in your
20s. It's been
great. You have truly, like, I look at your life and I'm like, damn, I want to like thrive in my 20s like Peyton. So what do you think are must do's? Like, I know one of them was like going to Europe.
Yeah.
Like, which you told me to do, and I did. Buying a bag in Europe. Like, it can be silly stuff. Like, I want to be like, you need to, like, you need to treat yourself to a Dr. Pepper every day. Or like, I don't know. Give me the silly stuff. Give me the serious stuff. Just, you know, whatever comes to mind, I want to hear it.
Okay, so if you guys follow me on Instagram, you might have already seen this, but I did a partnership with a company that I really like, and they, you know, provoked, or kind of, I guess provoked is not the right word there, but they had me share some things I learned in my 20s, and I kind of pitched that idea to them. So the five things I came up with for that piece of content are really true to me. So they're not in any order, but one for me was moving to Los Angeles.
Okay.
I did that at 22 out of college. I didn't know anybody really.
I agree. Moved to a big city.
Moved to a big city.
Even if you know no one.
And it really scared me. Like, genuinely, people are like, how do you do it? How? I'm too nervous. That's why I did it. I was really nervous, but something always kind of drew me to Los Angeles, even since I was young. It could be New York too. Like, I have an itch to move to New York. But I moved to a city that made me really intimidated, but at the same time, it made me really excited, which is kind of two sides of the same coin. Like, intimidation and excitement, I feel like, kind of go hand in hand sometimes.
Well, that means it's like a good fit.
Yes. And it was exhilarating, really, at the end of the day, to move to LA. And it was hard. It was very difficult. It was very expensive. I did a lot of like odd jobs in order to like pay rent and stuff like that. Luckily, my parents would help me should I like run into a situation where like I literally couldn't do it. But I worked my fucking ass off for a really long time. And that taught me a lot about myself. Moving somewhere too where like you cannot be naive. I luckily am very skeptical as a person, and I'm very logical, and I feel like I can just like follow when people are being weird.
Bullshitting you, yeah.
Yeah, and I just don't let other people give me hope, and I don't rely on other people typically. So it's hard to take advantage of someone like that because they're just not nice enough, I guess. And it really hardened me in a good way, I think. Like, it made me more aware, a little more street smart, I guess,
living
in a place like this. And I just, it was a challenge, and I love that I did it. And I became myself without my parents, without my family, without my close friends. I just really figured out who I was almost alone. And I was always working for myself too. So like, it was just this whole an inner experience that I really value. I spent some time being single, quite a lot of time actually. And I went through like loneliness and the want for maybe attention or whatever. And I always thought, brought myself to thinking, like, there are worse things than feeling lonely. Like, I could be in a relationship that made me feel really bad about myself, and I'd probably prefer loneliness over that kind
or
of
like
intensity.
Abusive relationship.
Yeah,
or,
like,
yeah.
Something
oh, yeah.
just, like, where they're cheating all the time, or, like, something where I'm worried all the time. Because, yeah, I was lonely, but I was always, like, at peace. Like, I think of that meme that's, like, Kim Kardashian laying in bed, and it's, like, this is how I sleep, knowing, like, no one's out there cheating on me or something. Like, it's just, I wasn't... There are worse things than being lonely. Mm-hmm. And being lonely taught me a lot.
It taught me patience. You a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I filled my time with things that were great. Like, I have a whole episode called Living Your Best Single Life that talks about, like, how wonderful being single is if you, like, really think about it. Mm-hmm. And that's coming from someone in a relationship of 2 years with someone I love. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason I'm in that is because I was single for a really long time. And I was patient. And I got to know myself really, really well without distraction. Mm-hmm. Number three, getting on anxiety meds for me was huge. I have another whole podcast episode about that. Like, I keep saying that because there's so much to say about each of these that, like, I'm not going to dive into, obviously, on, you know, one podcast episode. But that was life-changing for me. I was off of meds for 10 years throughout my 20s. And though my 20s have been great, the small dose of meds has been really helpful to me. And I tried everything for 10 years. I was, like, meditating. I was doing all the little things you're supposed to do. And at the end of the day, I was like, I'm spending, like, 20 hours a day trying to not have anxiety. Like, it was easier for me to just take medication. So I dive deeper on that in another podcast episode and a lot on in my content. What else? Oh, traveling, of course. Doesn't have to be Europe, but it can be anywhere. I think it's important to travel to see things and get perspective of people who you can maybe help, or you can do so, like, do something in a charitable way. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say mission work because I'm absolutely not about that life. But I think, like, some people would say, like, traveling gave them perspective because they saw people who were worse off than them. I think that is important, but I think it's traveling. And when I say worse off, I mean, like, physically they look worse off. Maybe they're living in more dilapidated areas or things like that, because we consider that worse off when sometimes people just want to live how they want to live.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. It's a case-by-case basis. Anyway, not the point. I think it's important to travel to places where people are like you or similar to you in some way, or privileged in some way even, and see how they live, just to know that America, the way we live here, isn't the end-all be-all. Because it's not like, I know a lot of people from where I'm from that'll be like, yeah, I went to this, you know, third world country and it was so sad and all these things. And, like, I've traveled and got perspective, and I'm like, all that's doing is reinforcing that your life here is the best one you can live and the only one to live, or you have to live this other life, where there's so many places in the world where people live amazing, maybe more amazing lives than we do even here sometimes. Mm-hmm. And seeing that and seeing how other people live, to me, is really important. That
are happy. Both, you know?
Yeah. Happy, healthy, just seeing a huge array. But I like to touch on that because where I'm from, again, people always go in that other direction, and I'm like, that's not really what all traveling is about. Like, you want to see everything. And I think that that's been important to me, is traveling as much as possible. I tried to do so, you know, on a budget, because I never really had. I mean, the second I got any money, I spent it on traveling. Yeah. And to me, that was worth it. I did that when I was like 25. I went to Europe for only like a month and haven't been back since COVID, but it was really, really fun. Going next week, actually, for the first time since COVID. And then what else? Oh, the last one that I really thought of in this piece of content that is important to me that we've already discussed is humbling myself. Or I guess, you know, one, understanding that I don't need to care about everyone's judgment of me, and also understanding that people don't care about my judgment of them usually. Mm-hmm. So, like, learning to shut your mouth when appropriate, learning that I don't need to have a response to everything. I don't need to have a judgment of everything. It's such a waste of time. We're conditioned to judge things, you know, in order to, like, live. I think it's like a mechanism that we develop over time to, like, judge, is this okay to eat, and judge, is this, you know, that kind of thing. But I think we take it too far and judge character and all these things. It's just not my job. And it's humbling to know that people don't give a fuck usually what I think about their lives at all. So it's, like, freeing and humbling, and it's just great to know that. And then vice versa, I don't have to care about what they think necessarily.
100%. I think those are all fabulous pieces of advice for people to, you know, take a hold of in their 20s. Is there anything, like, silly or, like, you know, more like daily random things?
I think little things for me, like, I'm a big simple pleasures person. So, like, finding little things that I love, like, I always bring this up. People who follow me know mashed potatoes. I freaking love mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
I incorporate mashed potatoes in my life, like wherever possible.
What's the potato soup you used to?
Baked potato soup.
Yeah, baked potato soup.
I love, if there's baked potato soup on the menu, I'm going to order it. It doesn't matter if it's like 105 degrees outside. I'm getting hot baked potato soup. It's kind of gross, but it's amazing. Little things like that are important to me. I love to have my coffee or tea in a cup with like coasters, like a teacup.
Oh, cute.
Thing. And I love like supplements. I love murder podcasts. So incorporating like little things that make me just like happy throughout the day are, it's actually life changing for my day. And it doesn't need to be expensive things. It can just be like little things that make me like excited to be alive. Mm-hmm. Morning coffee walk. This morning I made my coffee at home in order to like not spend $7 on fills every day. And it just wasn't the same. I was like, it might be worth the $7 to like feel the happiness that I feel when I'm doing that.
I know.
So I think incorporating those are, it's important.
That's something I'm learning so much lately is like, it's okay to like not work and watch your favorite show.
Yeah. If you want to lay down, just lay down.
I get it. It sounds ridiculous and annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. But like, even the other day, I got my nails done and I was like genuinely so excited. I was showing everyone. I was like, Phil, like, look at my nails. And he was like, I have not seen you this excited about something.
Yeah.
And, like, and I was like, you know what? This is for myself.
Yes.
I need to do this more. Like, treat yourself.
It's so nice. Even like for me, sometimes I'll do like an at-home spa night or like even like a little, on TikTok, I saw like a lymphatic drainage massage for your face and like your body. Just doing that. I mean, I took like some lotion and like rubbed my stomach for 10 minutes and I was like, nice.
You're like, hell yes.
Lovely. I'm killing it. So just like doing as many of those little things as you can because they really make a huge difference and they can be teeny tiny. To, you know, huge. And we did a whole other podcast episode on that because I wanted to know other people's, and some people had some really good, like, simple pleasures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This one girl said she likes to take baths and listen to, like, emo music.
Oh.
And I was like, that's a vibe.
That's a good one.
The whole, like, teacup with coasters thing. Someone said bamboo sheets, like, getting all clean.
Definitely investing in good sheets.
Got the bamboo sheets with like a silky pillowcase. So I went after that episode and bought bamboo sheets with a silky pillowcase, and it is life-changing. Just on Amazon. Bamboo sheets.
Slay.
They're so soft. They're so soft. So I like every time we, you know, even this morning we were trying to get out of bed and me and Joe were just like, oh, I feel so soft and cozy right now.
Oh my God, I love that.
Genuinely makes my everyday better, which, you know, makes your life better overall.
What about advice with, not necessarily dating, but just like hookup culture, like being in your 20s, like trying to find what you like.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Just like, what about that?
So the first thing that pops into my head about this is, it's kind of provocative again, but I do what I want to do. And the way I can break that down in this scenario is, when Joe and I first met, the first night we met, we hooked up. I had sex with him the first night I met him. People will say not to do that. I'd done that in the past.
I feel like I know so many successful couples that has happened
to. But do that. I mean, I don't think, and I want to like go back here to, we hooked up, but it wasn't because I wanted him to like me. And I didn't not hook up with him because I wanted him to like me. None of the above, me hooking up with him that night, had literally nothing to do with how he was going to react to it.
Ooh.
It was all what I wanted in the moment.
So good, Peyton.
And I think that a lot of the time we're like, okay, well, like, he won't like me if I do this, and the guy doesn't like you if you do this, and the guy, we put all these rules.
Why don't you just do whatever the fuck you want?
Yeah, well, first of all, you don't even know. Like, sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. It's not a hard and fast rule. I understand there's some psychology behind it sometimes, but in my experience, I've had, like, two situations like that where I've hooked up with a guy and it ended up being like a long relationship. The first guy I ever dated was like that, and it was, I didn't have to try. And I'll just go ahead and put a disclaimer here, I'm not that good in bed. It wasn't because I was like crazy at sex, it was because it just happened. And I don't know, I guess I was unapologetic about it. I wasn't weird. And that's what I wanted to do. That's also to say, if you don't want to do anything,
don't
do something because it's going to make him like you. Of course, this is coming from like a straight female perspective, talking about straight female situations. But yeah, I just never really led with what the man wanted. I think we do that a lot.
Or what anyone wants.
What anyone wanted or what anyone thought. And I think people definitely judge me for it. And I, you know, there are situations in where I was like really drunk and I shouldn't have done something, or I regret something, of course. But in my right mind, I decide what I want to do, and whatever I want to do is what I'm going to do. And I'm not worried about letting anyone judge me for it, and they might, but I'm not worried about their opinion because they weren't there and they're not me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was big for me with men. And I think a lot of men actually respond really well to being unapologetic.
Oh,
and just being like, this is me. Like, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to appease you right now. And Joe really responded well to that because he was just like, I don't think he ever wanted me to be like, hey, well, what would Joe want me to do in this situation for me to end up dating him?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like that at all.
I think a struggle of mine is I start off like that always. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I always, like, that's what almost gets the guy to like me, is he's like, this girl knows what the fuck she wants,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But my weakness, or where my struggle comes in, is once I end up deciding that I like them, then I'm like, what would they like? Like,
yeah.
I like start thinking like that, which of course, like, that's a natural thing to do.
Well, also, but you have to in a relationship. I think, like, yeah, as I go deeper in my relationship, I do think, you know, what does Joe like? What does Joe want? But I feel like it's never gonna, I don't do things that are going to.
I do that too soon, though.
Yeah.
I need to get better at saying.
Well, because you want to make it special, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're going on a date or whatever, if he likes lingerie, you do want to do things mm-hmm. like that he likes. But nothing that ever is going to put you in a situation where you're doing something that compromises what you want mm-hmm. or like your morals, or it compromises you feeling good about yourself. I think that doing what your man likes at whatever point should be more empowering than it is like, oh, I have to do this for him because then he'll like me more. It's more like, oh, I like him so much and we're having such a good time. Like, of course I want to do this thing for him.
Absolutely.
As long as it doesn't like conflict with like my own mm-hmm. morals or things like that.
Well, that's just at that point in the relationship, it's just considerate and fun to do that.
If it's fun, then it's right. If you are not having a good time doing what whoever likes, like, maybe take another look at that. Maybe don't do that, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, there's some things it's easier to have fun if it's healthy. You're doing things mm-hmm. like that in a healthy way.
Okay, what about, I'm making this about me now.
Okay,
I just turned 25. I am single as can be. What advice do you have for me when it comes to dating and just life? What do you think I should be doing? What advice would you give me? You know me pretty well.
So again, I'm not like, again, the most wise person on the planet, but mm-hmm. I can say what I did at 25 and that helped me. So 25, like we've discussed mm-hmm. on my podcast, it was like a very transformative year for me, and it was the best year in my life because it was so transformative. Like, we're talking about how your 25th mm-hmm. year is like,
I'm like
challenging and like anxiety provoking. That's how mine was. And I
feel
like that year I was hanging out with people that I don't hang out with anymore. And mm-hmm. I was surrounded, I mean, here in LA, my friends from home have not changed. And I was surrounded by guys that I do not think about anymore. You know what I mean? It was so different that short time ago. But it was like my blowout year. I traveled, I spent all my money, I went to Coachella, I had the best night of my life. Like, I was just going a little crazy, but also work was going well and stuff like that. So I think for me, I valued trying as many things as I wanted to, letting loose for the first time and not working as much, which I feel like you've been doing
mm-hmm.
like more than mm-hmm. when I lived with you.
Yeah. Definitely at 24 I did.
Yeah. And focusing on having a good time and figuring out what it is that I enjoyed. Taking some risks. I talked to some guys that I liked and that were like exciting. Like, when I went out, like, we'd go out and like we go to dinner and be like, oh, he's going to be there. And like, it was just exciting to talk to them, but never anybody that I wasn't dating any of them is because I never took them seriously.
Mm.
I don't think I was in a position. I hadn't had my moment laying in bed yet being like, this is what I want. This is what I deserve. But I just didn't, I think internally with my intuition, like, trust them. Like, I just knew they weren't the right guys mm-hmm. for me. But still, like, hanging out with some guys, like, filling my time not working with, you know, little things here and there, like little mm-hmm. boys just hanging out. And mm-hmm. that was fun and exciting with my friends. I really was heavy on the friends at 25.
Mm-hmm.
And we just explored and had the best time. Trying out new hobbies, doing just like random stuff. I feel mm-hmm. like you're doing a really good job. And if you're if you're feeling overwhelmed, I think that's the point.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because I was overwhelmed for sure. And again, like, the people I was surrounded by mm-hmm. are not in my life today. Not because they're horrible people at all. They're great. But they're just not here for a reason.
Yeah.
You know? So
people come and go for seasons.
They
of
do.
Your life.
Mm-hmm. And that was the end of one season for me, I think, was mm-hmm. at the end of 25. And it was like, you know, the finale. It was amazing. And moving into 26, I kind of just, I feel like I settled back into who I was in like high school, kind of. Like, I just, it was like a mix between my crazy side and then like my type A, head cheerleader, never kissed a boy till I was like 18, like lifestyle. I like mm-hmm. kind of had a happy medium between
oh,
that
okay.
and like my crazy LA girl in the hills running around days.
Yeah, see, I feel like I'm entering my, like, I like being at home. I like scrapbooking era a little bit.
Things are slower. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like at 25, I was moving really, really fast, and it was so fun. And then 26 hit. I started dating Joe, which is another big part of this, because, like, I had to slow down. I talked to him every night. I incorporated a relationship was so different from anything I'd ever done. But now I feel like I'm just moving slower and almost trying to be more linear, like learning from the boys in my life, maybe, to try to be more relaxed and linear and not so chaotic and everywhere, you know, unless it comes to, like, thinking, like, philosophically, I guess.
Yeah. Well, if you're in your 20s, I hope you learned something from Peyton, because I feel like I've learned so much from her living with her for over a year and a half.
I appreciate that. I'm glad.
Just to reiterate, I don't know what the fork I'm doing, and to some extent, Peyton doesn't know what the fork she's doing.
I'm sure I'm going to figure out. Yeah. Like, if I explain
this, we're
going to
look back and laugh at this.
Yeah,
episode.
I'm going to be like, oh my god, can you imagine how much I thought I knew? But, like, I want that feeling. You know what I mean? It feels great, but I think from a place that I am now, you know, being 29 in a month, I think I'm good at communicating, like putting my thoughts into words and, like, getting it out. And I'm very honest, so I'm just going to tell it like it is. So I think it's good, and I wish I had more people like myself who were older than me who would be like, this is what happened, clear and honestly.
100%.
This is everything I did wrong. This is everything I did right. And, you know, just a couple years older than me, because it's just kind of nice to, like, have some kind of idea of what's happening next. Of course, it's going to be different for everybody, but just, like, I don't know, it's comforting to know. I wish I had more of that in my life.
Like a mentor type.
Yeah. I feel like the reason I started following Lauren Bostick from The Skinny Confidential is because she's kind of that person for me
on the internet.
Yeah, on the internet, where I'm like, since college, she's always been like, I don't know how much older that she is than me, like under 5 years, I think. She's in her early 30s, I believe.
She's a great one for you.
Yeah, she's like in the next step. She's married with kids. She's like done a lot with her career, obviously. So like, she's always been that person for me. But it took me to be 27 or 28 to even be old enough to be like, oh, I kind of know some stuff. Like,
yeah.
This is what I was doing at this age, because I couldn't be 22 and, like, giving advice, you know?
Well, that's the cool thing about having people to follow on the internet, is, like, you can watch someone from afar and be like, that is a life I would like to live, or certain ways, or to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they have a house I want. And it's like, what are they doing to get that?
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. I don't know. It's healthy.
It's fun when people are honest about it. That's why people are like, you're living such an amazing life, or because I sometimes get that and I'm like, I see where you're coming from, and I don't want to be like the Debbie Downer or the bearer of bad news, but that's why I try to share. I'm not going to, like, exploit my life or people in my life. But I do like to say, like, it's not perfect, I promise. Like, these are a lot of things. There's a lot of things I struggle with behind closed doors that I don't talk about, because I don't want to put other people on blast who have not chosen to put their life on the internet.
Absolutely.
I share as much as I possibly can for me. And I think, you know, it can be annoying when you find people. I feel like we all now know the internet enough to find genuine people to follow. But yeah, when people say anything like that to me, I'm like, thank you for saying that. I'm really happy that it looks that way.
It's not all rainbows and butterflies, and we can all,
like,
all the time.
We can all like try to live a certain way. But I think I talk a lot about almost more negative things, because I would like to be like, okay, this is, like, really what's happening.
I know. That's what I've been trying to embrace with, like, at least being open on my podcast and my YouTube channel. Like, I'm actually not thriving that much in this quarter life crisis.
Yeah. It's hard. You know what I mean? It's hard to be really vulnerable about things, especially when you're still figuring it out. So speaking out loud,
it's
like,
scary.
It's scary because you don't have, like, sometimes when I talk on podcast, I have things, like, wrapped up in a little bow. But, like, for example, I talked about the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and it was, like, the messiest episode I've ever done, because it's emotional and it's, I had to address that I could not. And I did a full episode on it. And when I got off the mic, I was like, I'm so nervous. Like, none of that even made sense. Like, I was just blabbering. But that's how I felt. And when I put it online, people responded and resonated, because they were like, you don't need to have it all figured out. You know, like, you can talk
about
things like this.
Well, it's so much
easier
to feel like you do know what's going on, or having it figured out. It's easier to be, like, told what to do, and then you just do it. That's why it's hard to be your own boss.
You plan, like, a podcast outline. You're like, I'm gonna talk about this first and this first, and then we're gonna conclude with this. And it's harder when you're like, okay, y'all, I don't know, like, I apologize being messy, but I'm just gonna talk and, like,
but those are the best
see what
ones
comes out. People really resonate with that, but I like following people like that a lot. I need more, actually.
Me too. It's way more unfiltered and just like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it feels like you're like genuinely there.
Well, you do risk also like saying things that are going to be offensive because mm-hmm. you didn't think about it before. Like, yeah. didn't, you know, absolutely. Like you don't even know they're offensive or how they're going to be taken. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I think it's more interesting to watch. Totally. For sure.
Well, go listen to our podcast on Peyton's yes. Channel. It's, mm-hmm. what is it? Note to Self?
Note to Self by Peyton Sartin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can find it anywhere you get your podcast and on YouTube.
Yeah. So go subscribe, listen to our episode. And where can everyone follow you, Peyton?
You can follow me at Peyton Sartain. It's PAYTONSARTAIN. People usually say Sartain.
Sartain, yeah.
Yeah, but it looks like Sartain. So Peyton Sartain, pretty much everywhere. You can find me on YouTube, Peyton Sartain.
TikTok.
And then I moved all my Note to Self social media over to just my personal because like it was too many outlets again to be posting on. I'm really simplifying my life.
Oh, wow.
So my manager was like, just do it all on one. I kind of miss my little Note to Self Instagram channel and stuff like that. It's still up.
Okay.
If you want to see some old content or like sampling of some podcast episodes that are already up, uh-huh. the audio is up there, but I'm just posting more on my own social now.
What about TikTok? Do you have your Note to Self TikTok still?
It's still up, but I'm only using mine. Yeah.
Got it.
Because I was kind of like in that space where I was like, okay, I don't really have that much to post about. Like, how am I going to post like two or three TikToks a day? And my manager was like, just combine your other
and so
just
hard.
Do your other TikTok too. Like, it's why so would hard. You? Why are you doing like six separate things? But anyway, yeah, you can just find me mostly on Peyton Sartain.
Awesome.
Everywhere.
Well, be sure to subscribe to this channel. You guys know where to follow me, TK's Juicy Pulls and everything, and make someone's day this week. Bye, y'all. Love you.
3 inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.